Blog Talk Radio.
Fellow Americans, it is with the utmost pride and sincerity that I present this recording as a living testament and recollection of history in the making during our generation.
Allow me to reintroduce myself.
My name is...
What?
My name is...
Dr. Drake.
Yeah. Yeah. Sir Robert Fortune.
Okay, we get it. Start the show.
Here we go.
Let's do it.
Let's go.
Right.
There we go. We got the whole crew back. Let me get JQ in the room, and we are officially ready to start talking sports with the 12 men. I mean, we just see an empty space where JQ's supposed to be, but that's okay. There he is. He's got to make his appearance, you know, coming in there, you know.
No, I had to make sure I had the door closed behind me. So.
Nice.
Yeah.
What an entrance. Nice.
I had to make sure. Make sure I don't get cussed out for being too loud. I had to close some doors and all that other good stuff. You know how it is.
Coming in like super proud over here. Coming in. What? Fellas, it's good to see you guys.
No, I like
it. Month of
Eric's gonna have one
September is upon us.
Right?
Oh, goodness gracious. We are ready to talk some sports as always. Again, so excited about the start of the NFL season, college football. Started obviously last week, so we got a lot of things to dive into. Let's check in with the fellas as always, like we like to do. Mr. JQ, how are you feeling this evening, sir?
Oh man, I'm good. Celebrated my oldest turning 14 this past weekend, so it was all about her. Of course, she had her. She cheers, and her football game. Of course, it started at 7:30 on Saturday night, so I had my headphones on like this so I could hear her cheer in one ear and listen to the game and watch it in the other one. But, you know, she knew what the deal was. And then the day after, she didn't see the results. She said, Daddy, did Ohio State win? I said, yeah, baby, they barely won. She said, okay, cool, I can wear my sweatshirt today. And so she put her Ohio State sweatshirt on for me for her birthday. So it's been a good weekend. No baseball to do this week. So I am here in the flesh in front of you guys on the Zoom.
Staying away from the strippers.
Man, we're just past me. Yeah, yeah. We're just happy that you're raising the girl right, man. That's all that matters.
I'm trying. I'm losing it, though. She's still a Georgia fan. She's still a Georgia fan at heart, but she threw me a bone.
That's all good. Mr. Rob Ford, how you doing this evening, sir?
Man, feeling good, man. Ready to talk some sports. Had some good Indian food tonight. So, you know, I got that spice and everything is oh so nice.
Got that chili naan.
Ooh, man, that garlic naan. Ooh-wee.
Okay.
That's some good stuff right there.
I'm
Indian
glad
food,
you're there.
Man,
we're
that
here.
The thing. I had to throw some asparagus in there, too. What'd you say, Gary?
This guy.
I said, I'm glad you're across the country from me right now.
Oh, yeah. There was some fireworks afterwards.
Oh, my God.
Oh, no.
He over there rocking that Deacon beard. I see you over there, Rob.
Oh, yeah.
Shout out to my man, Duke, because we went to a great, it was like a kind of a Bollywood kind of pizza restaurant, and they had some really good naan as well, too. It's, you know, one of the situations where it's kind of a Singapore's kind of style, kind of Asian fusion type of food, and it was really, really fantastic. It's called Hawkers. It's in Charlotte, so we had a really good time there too. So, and he's trying to like franchise out of different places too. So, you know, just the naan was it was phenomenal. Probably just so fresh. I mean, just a really good interaction too. So, just want to throw that out there. I know Rob all the time likes to throw his little dinner situations out there too. You know, we skipped the asparagus tonight, so but one other conversation. So. It's all good. Curtis Gary, finally.
I made some asparagus to go my Indian food.
That's not normal, Rob. I just wanted to let you know that, by the way. Asparagus
I just had to get some
not, it's not normal, bro. It's not normal, bro.
Brought the Indian family home, and I just had to get some greens on a plate. So, you know, I had to get some asparagus in there tonight.
It's not normal, bro. You need help, man. Seriously. All right, Gary.
Hey, we're doing good. Curtis, he's hanging in there. We talked over a few of these topics, and let's get to it.
Have some fun, Jim. Let's get this party started. So without further ado, we have some pretty good topics to discuss. I want to make sure we have more than enough time to go over them. So I want to start off, this is for you, JQ, you know, kind of throw you a quick start off with talking about the top five accurate QBs in the NFL today. We're like not going back in the day, but we're talking about today. So curious to hear your thoughts
today,
on that.
No
boomy
size.
Yeah, no.
Don't pull out Kenny. Don't come out Kenny Stabler or anything like that, man. But all good, man.
No. So when I saw the time coming, I was like, okay, you know, I'll go doing some reading on it. And I did not know that last year Joe Burrow was number one at 70.4%. Overall. So I think that's why I got to this topic first. I know he had a good year. And he's a pretty accurate thrower of the ball, right? He's got some good wide receivers that also can help him out in the pinch, you know, with Boyd and Chase and T. Higgins and even CJ at tight end last year. But I didn't know it was that high. And it's crazy to me that I remember us talking and, you know, evaluating quarterbacks coming out of college. And it was like, yeah, this dude, he's got to throw over 60%, right? He's got to throw 62%. Remember when Josh Allen, they were talking about, oh, he's inaccurate. I think he was in the past 50s, if I'm not mistaken, coming out of Wyoming. Everybody was like, oh, my God, he can't be accurate. And now we're looking at 70% for a year. And then you go down the list. What shocked me was Kyler Murray being up there a second. You see him, you know, looking around running like a little toddler running around. And you don't expect him to be that accurate with the football. But, again, he also has Hopkins and Ertz and all those boys. But I was really shocked at his size, you know, having to throw over the offensive line. And the way he likes to scramble, he would still be that accurate. Aaron Rodgers being third, you know, he doesn't take a lot of chances with the football. He's a great thrower of the ball, don't get me wrong. But, you know, he's got that low interception total for a reason. He makes sure that he can get the ball in there. He doesn't take a whole lot of chances. He's got special arm talent. He makes some throws that other quarterbacks can't, but he's really careful with the ball. So I wasn't surprised that he was up that high. I was a little surprised at that coming in at four. You know, people want to give the Cowboys a lot of grief. And that's because they're on TV and we talk about him way too much. But you got to give back his credit. You know, he came in fourth to 68.8%. You know, they made the playoffs. I didn't realize he'd been that high. He got all that money. And he's going to throw 69%, basically, if you round up. You got to back up off of him a little bit for having a 69% completion percentage. And then what shocked me is that there was no Tom Brady in there. Tom Brady's was further down 65.5. Derek Carr coming in at five. Again, this top five was really shocking to me. If you'd have told me to guess, I would have said Aaron Rodgers. I would have said Tom Brady. Probably would have thrown in Stafford. He was a little farther down his list. Tannehill were actually tied, and Mac Jones was ahead of both of them. One that did surprise me that people don't give credit to is Tua, but we'll see how that goes this year because he's going to have to throw that ball down the field to the Cheetah. You know, last year was Vlad Dinkins out there. You look at Waddle catching those passes, but I don't think his yards per catch will figure about was about eight and a half. It was a lot of dinking and ducking, not a whole lot of pushing down the field. So I'd be really surprised to see if his number stays that same or goes up because he's going to have to take some more deep shots with Tyreek. Tyreek is going to get mad at him. Like, apparently, he was pissed at Patrick Mahomes. I did not know that he was going to leave Kansas City and throw so many, you know, daggers back in Kansas City, getting all the success they had and winning the title. But he got his money. He's in Miami. He's happy now, but just to see what Tua's percentage would go at. So, yeah, Burrow, Murray, Rodgers, Prescott, and Carr. I would expect Tom Brady to move up a little bit maybe, but that offensive line is not in good shape. So I want to see what his percentage looks like, too, as well. You lose two of them in free agency, and you lose two of them in the summer to injury. So, you know, you got a lot of moving parts there on that Tampa offensive line.
Good stuff. Anyone want to chime on that really quickly, or we can go to the next topic? Or man, good job on the research. That's
no, I mean that
very
was really good. I mean, those were the you know, I was also surprised at Murray. You know, having to run around and do what he has to do with his legs to even get you know, to where he can actually set up for a pass, for him to be that high, I was really surprised at that. So when you mentioned that, that's really the only thing that, you know, that really surprised me, that stuck out to me. But I knew that Burroughs was up there, but I didn't know he was number one as well. But, yeah, he's definitely a solid season. Very thorough.
Yeah, the thing about Murray, too, that I noticed, too, is that his percentage was extremely high prior to the injury last year. You started to see that number go down slightly after he got hurt. You know, obviously, you know, your legs are everything when you're throwing the football, right? You know, how you're planting your feet, how you're stepping into your throws and things of that nature. So his completion percentage was off the charts prior to his injury last year and probably could have even been number one. But he did fall off slightly after he did get hurt on last year. Kyler Murray actually, he actually had a very high percentage in throwing the football. You know, I would look for, you know, if you're the Chargers, I think you'd like to see Justin Herbert get in that category this year, in that top five category. You know, he's an MVP candidate, and so are the Buffalo Bills. They would like to see Josh Allen get into that category too this year. So it'll be really intriguing. The thing that Joe Burrow has is he has the unique ability of throwing his receivers open, whether that's the back shoulder throws and things of that nature. So even if a receiver is covered, he has the unique ability to throw them open or throw them to a spot. And so that's what makes him so good as far as his accuracy is concerned and why he led the league in that category. And I suspect he doesn't have the strongest arm out of these guys. I mean, Justin Herbert has a rocket for an arm. Patrick Mahomes has a rocket for an arm. But Burrow, he has it between the ears, and he knows about ball placement, similar to what Drew Brees had in his career. You know, Drew Brees every year led the league in completion percentage, you know, around 74, 75. Didn't have the strongest arm, but he just knew the spots to throw the football to. Now, Burrow's arm is a little bit stronger than Brees now. He has the ball placement. He knows how to throw his receivers open. So he's going to be very good at that for quite some time throughout his career.
Hopefully.
Good stuff. Good stuff. Appreciate that. Like you said, I think we're all in agreement, too, regarding, you know, Kyler Murray, just his ascension, too, man. So, again, we're going to talk about these quarterbacks, too, because they're definitely things to talk about when we talk about future MVPs, too. So let's get to some NFC predictions by Curtis and Gary. So, West Coast, you guys have the floor.
NFC East predictions, you said?
NFC East predictions by Gary.
Okay. Well, you know what? The team that I think is going to have a better season than what most people think are the Commanders. I think that Washington's going to be able to do pretty well in the division. In fact, I have the Cowboys in winning the division. It's going to depend on, of course, their offensive line. Every one of those teams have glaring weaknesses. But with the Cowboys and their offensive line, it's going to depend on play calling, how fast they can get that ball out of Dak's hands, if that running game can work with a depleted offensive line. But I think it's good, and I think that it's not great, but I think at best it can be an average offensive line, at best, right now. But with an average offensive line, I think the defense is also going to be a solid defense for them this year. They won't have as many takeaways as they did last year, but I'm hoping they're better on their three and outs and, you know, and they're, you know, holding these teams on third downs. If they can improve on that, I believe the Cowboys will win the division. But I've got the Commanders taking second in the division, battling the Eagles and I think the Eagles will take third in the division. And I don't think the Giants, they'll be lucky if they win five games in the division. Those are my picks. Cowboys, Commanders, Eagles, Giants. And I think Curtis has – the Eagles ahead of the Commanders, correct, Curtis? Yeah, Curtis has the
Eagles. Because we're not sure about the quarterback, right? Is Carson Wentz the answer? That's my question about the Commanders. I think, obviously, you know, they have a really strong defense, you know, again, and I think that's something that J.K. we always talk about. How's the quarterback play? You know, so, again, can the defense do enough to carry them? It, you know, that's the question. And then, obviously, Carson Wentz,
well,
huge question marks, too. But
they also, Chase Young, we just got an update tonight. Chase Young has a setback, too. That's going to be a huge blow to the Commanders. No Chase Young for a while. And they're pretty upset with them as well. So that's a huge blow. But I will say this: the Redskins might have some weapons at the receiver position.
The Redskins,
right?
Commanders.
Commanders. I'm sorry. It's gonna take me a while to get used to that. The Commanders.
We got you.
Jahan Dotson has been a pleasant surprise for them all throughout training camp and the preseason. They're expecting big things for him. So they might have a real strong 1-2 punch at the wide receiver position if Carson Wentz can somehow step it up, you know, at the quarterback position. So they have a chance to be a threat. I have them third in the NFC East right now, the Commanders. But I agree with Gary to the extent that I do think they will be an improved football team. I really do. I think the Commanders,
yes.
Ron Rivera, an experienced head coach, they're going to be solid on the defensive side of the football. They're going to have a pretty good offensive line. It's just going to be a matter of what they're going to get at the quarterback position. I definitely think the Giants are the worst team in that division. Daniel Jones, probably not even the best quarterback on their roster. It might even be Tyrod Taylor before it's all said and done. So there's huge concern with the New York football Giants. But I do think the Commanders will be slightly improved and could be competitive. But I like the Eagles winning the division. I just think when you look at the Eagles and the Cowboys, the Eagles to me have less question marks than the Cowboys have. When you look at the Eagles, their wide receivers too, A.J. Brown, Devontae Smith, the weapons that they're going to have at the perimeter, the depth that they have at running back, right? They get Miles Sanders back healthy, Boston Scott, Kenneth Gainwell, at the running back position, solid offensive line, pretty good defense. So I think they have fewer
Dallas
questions.
Goddard.
Yeah, the Goddard, the tight end, absolutely. So they have, to me, less question marks. Cowboys got some question marks on the offensive line, right? What do you replace? How do you replace Randy Gregory, right? Those sacks that he was giving them on last year, right? How do you replace that? Offensive line, not only did you lose Lyle Collins, now Tyron Smith is out, right? I mean, you drafted the kid from Tulsa, and he had a great preseason, so you expect him to plug in. Jason Peters is about 89 years old, so, I mean, and they signed him to the practice squad. So, I mean, I don't know what they're going to expect out of him, but there are some legitimate concerns for them on the offensive line. And who's the number two receiver for the Cowboys? I mean, you trade Amari Cooper. Michael Gallup is hurt. James Washington is hurt. I mean, JQ and Andre, Gary, y'all try it out for the number two spot?
Listen, I'm with you. I was waiting on somebody to say it. It bleeds into the next topic. We just talked about that and being really accurate with the ball, and they paid him a lot of money. And then it's really going to have to be on him because he came into the league. He probably had the best offensive line in football when he first started with the Cowboys. It's gone down as he's gone up. The offensive line has gone down due to age and injuries. But when he came in, he had the best offensive line, and now he doesn't necessarily have that luxury. So, like Gary hit on, you know, can they run the ball effectively to take that pressure off of him, or are they going to have to be a pass-first team? And like you just said, you know, you got CD, and CD is very good. Don't get me wrong. But until somebody else emerges, and I do like Dalton Schultz, and it's going to be real interesting to see what Kellen Moore does. Is Dalton Schultz basically your Travis Kelce in that offense, where you got where you had a Tyreek and a Kelce? Now you do CD and Schultz and kind of pair it off the tight end to the wide receiver. But I'm with you. You know, Jalen Hurts is under an enormous amount of pressure. You look at that, he's got a good defense. He's got a number one cornerback in Slay who gives most opposing wide receivers problems. So you can almost say, hey, I'm going to put Slay on the best wide receiver. I'm going to roll my coverage to everybody else. We're stout up front with Fletcher Cox. We've got Goddard and Tyler Gann. Like you just talked about, Devontae Smith and A.J. Brown.
at wide receiver. Like, we have given you all the pieces, young fella. You know, all this running you're doing is fantastic. It's great. Don't get me wrong. But to be the Tom Brady's, you know, and the Montana's and all those people in the world, you got to be able to hit, stay in that pocket and read the coverage and hit these dudes that we're paying this money to that we just went and got for you. So I look at that, and like you said, they got less questions than the Cowboys. I think it's close because of Jalen Hurts, and we don't know what to expect from him. But overall, talent-wise, top to bottom, given everything that's happened this summer, I would still take the Eagles right now, but I wouldn't take them in a walk. You know what I mean? I think it's going to be close. It's going to come down to that Week 17 game because you know they're going to play. Do they play? Does Dallas or Philly play in Week 17? I didn't look at it. They don't play a division game the last week of the season. I don't know if it's Dallas or Philly this year. But it's going to come down to that last week of the season is why I say that, I think, because you're going to have some growing pains with Jalen Hurts. He's the key to the whole NFC East is Jalen Hurts.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing is,
I'm sure he feels that pressure on me. Even going into it, because he's got exactly what you said. He's got great defense, offensive line, weapons around him. He's the weak link. Last year, 3,100 yards,
right.
He had 16 TDs, 9 picks. Not great.
He augments that with his rushing ability.
Now, what's that?
I'll say this, too.
I said, but he augments that with his rushing ability. But I'm with you. He's got to do less rushing and more passing to be considered. He's going to have that same problem Lamar Jackson has. And that's why I think that's part of the reason why Baltimore struggles with it. He's a great runner, but at some point you got to be a passer to get us over the hump. So I'm with you. He's got all the pressure, all of it.
So this is an interesting thing, too, as we kind of talk about this subject, too, because apparently during that loss, he actually learned a lot from the Patriots' loss in the playoffs. You know, that's something that he comes into the season with. You know, so I think, you know, like you said, he's a lot of pressure, but he has to embrace this now, right? He's saying all the right stuff. He's adamant that now is the time. You know, sometimes loss motivates you, right? You know, either you got to, you know, you step up and figure out some things, too. We've all said this, you know, Jalen Hurts, this is your year, bro. You got to figure out if you're the guy. If you're not the guy, guarantee you the Eagles are going to do something else. Just to talk about what you said earlier, JQ, you pair Fletcher Cox with Jonathan Davis, holy shit. I mean, that is just an amazing defense too right there, man. There's no way. You know, N'Kobe Dean, you talk about him, you know, from Georgia. I mean, you just keep stacking up. That's just a monster defense too right now too. So right now, there pretty much is no excuse. We talked about the offensive weapons, Dallas Goedert. You talked about A.J. Brown getting that, you know, great wide receiver. So, Jalen, bro, you got the running game. Solid offensive line. You're the guy, man. So if you're saying all the right stuff about, hey, how much the Patriots lot hurt you, you have to come and prove it this year, too. So we're going to talk about that. I'm very excited to see how he comes out at the beginning
fucking
of the year, too. Anything you want to add to that?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
You're saying Patriots because of Tom Brady. I guess Steve Brady.
Because of Tom Brady, yeah.
It's
still hard to get used to.
Yeah, my bad.
Sorry. Well, all right. I think Jalen Hurts, you know, I'm not going to go on out on a limb and say he's going to be a Pro Bowler this year, but I think you're going to see an improved Jalen Hurts, too. It's not like this guy hasn't played with pressure. He's played at Alabama. He's played at big-time college football. He also played in Oklahoma and played big-time college football there as a starting quarterback. I think you're going to see a guy that's going to improve. I don't see him as a Pro Bowl quarterback, but I think he's going to get the job done enough for them to win a division. I don't think they are NFC champions, but I think he'll get the job done for them to win the division in the NFC East. And I agree. I believe it's going to be close. I think at best they're 11-6, maybe 10-7, 11-6. And the Cowboys are probably about a game underneath them when it's all said and done. But I do think Jalen Hurts, is you're going to see some improvement. He's got weapons. And when you have weapons, they're going to cover a lot of your mistakes too. You know, A.J. Brown, that dude is so big, man. So you can just alley-hoop the ball to him sometime, man. He's going to go up there and get it for you. And so they're going to cover some of his mistakes. But I suspect that Jalen is going to show tremendous improvement than what he had on last season. I think you're going to see a better Jalen Hurts this season.
They could be the Bengals this year, depending on what Jalen Hurts does.
When he plays the Cowboys, his jersey's going to be awful dirty by the end of the game.
Maybe.
I, I still, every time I think about the Eagles, I still love Curtis. I'm like, we got 46 walk-on players to beat. That's the best mark ever, man. That's a walk-on player. The street,
we got
street,
street
agents,
players. Bro,
that's,
yeah,
that's
that
the greatest
good.
Ever. All right, we are moving
go
on
Yankees,
to
okay.
the, yeah, I see the shirt. Top five NFL MVP candidates. This is on me, so definitely want to give my thoughts and, you know, kind of talk about some things, you know, obviously we'll get around the room too. So this is tough. It's not a slight, JQ, because it could be 1A and 1B. But right now I'm looking at the top five. We got to start with Josh Allen, number one, right? You know, we talk about him. You know, he's kind of, you know, next in line, he's the ultimate dual threat QB right now. You know, last year he had, 36 touchdowns, ran for threw for 4,400-something yards. 762 rushing yards. Each year he has improved in the last 4 years, and this may be his best year yet too. So you putting it all together, you know, maybe because this is the year right now for him. You saw the phenomenal playoff game versus the Chiefs. You know, is this the time, and everyone kind of likes that Buffalo Bills team. Obviously, we talked about them representing, you know, in a tough situation, representing the AFC, but right now I think he's the number one guy right now for MVP candidate. Number two, I'm going to show you some love. I'm going to throw it to Joe Burrow. And the question is, you know, I know that, you know, he's not sneaking up on anyone this year. The Bengals are not. And they're in a really tough AFC division. But, you know, like I said, we talked about it. He's got the weapons. He's got an improved offensive line. We talked about the addition of defense, little things like that. You know, Ja'Marr Chase is coming in his own. I mean, damn, that dude is already phenomenal in his first year. He's going to get just as better. So, you know, that situation, we talked about his accuracy, number two in accuracy. So Joe Burrow, I've got him number two on that list. Number three, we're going to talk about Justin Herbert. You know, we talk about the his ascension. We talked about Robbie said he's got a rocket arm. He threw for 5,000 yards last year, 41 TDs in 17 games. That's just insane. We talked about what the Chargers have added. They added Rashawn Sloper in the draft to kind of obviously improve offensive line. Zion Johnson at guard. We talked about the weapons. They got Khalil Mack. I mean, this team is definitely poised to do some damage in the AFC. So right now, Justin Herbert, this is your year to kind of make that ascension, if you will. I've got Patrick Mahomes on there at number four. This might be, you know, he has to prove it, right? Because I think he's kind of dropped a little bit. The AFC, everyone's getting more, you know, we talk about how great that division is. I think he has to definitely play out of his mind. He's in a tough division right now. You know, that his home division is getting tough, you know, so he's got to prove some things for that. And I'm actually going to go with the dark horse at number five. There's no way in hell I'm going to give it to Tom Brady. I'm going to get him out of there. My dark horse is going to be Russell Wilson. You know, I like Russell Wilson. I like the fact that what Denver is surrounding him with, I think that this is kind of the perfect situation for him. They're going to get him a solid running game. They're probably going to get what he's always needed in Seattle, that offensive line. He's got some good weapons. He had weapons in Seattle, but he's got the offensive line, you know, got the defense right now. So I like Russell Wilson as far as that MVP dark horse, if you will. And it could have gone into a couple different people, too, between Russell and also Kyler Murray as far as what he's doing. But I'm going to go with Russell Wilson as my dark horse, if you will. Those are my top five.
I agree with you at the number one spot with Josh Allen. I've been saying that they were the favorite to win the AFC this year. So I definitely agree with you on Josh Allen. I have Justin Herbert in the number two spot. Actually, I'm bullish on the Chargers this year. I'm picking them to win the AFC West. I think they have a loaded roster as well. When you look at them, the backfield, the offensive line, you talked about it with Zion Johnson, Rashawn Slater. They have a really good offensive line, a really heck of a defensive line. Good secondary as well. I just think they have a loaded roster. So they're going to be a tough out, in my opinion. And I think that's going to help Justin Herbert get the exposure. And I have him at the number two spot. And, man, Patrick Mahomes. Man, a few years ago, man, he was the best thing to sliced bread. Since sliced bread. Now we're talking about Josh Allen, Justin Herbert, Joe Burrow. And let's not forget about Patrick Mahomes, right? Even though he lost Tyreek Hill. I got him at the number three spot there. Aaron Rodgers, if he has a big year this year without Devontae Adams, it's just going to, you know, it's going to put him on another level as well. So I have him in the conversation. And you got to have a running back in there too. Jonathan Taylor, He's got a slight upgrade at the quarterback position from Carson Wentz to Matt Ryan. And how much is that going to upgrade his play, too, catching the ball out of the backfield and his explosion? So I'm going to put Jonathan Taylor in that conversation at number five, too.
Yeah, if you had to say Russell Wilson, that's what I was going to go to. I only worry about Burrow because of that schedule. If he goes out nice enough, he's going to be in it. But he's got a tough road to hoe. And that's part of the reason why we don't talk about Stafford, and that Super Bowl schedule coming back is brutal for the Bengals this year. So I don't know how big his numbers are going to be able to be. They might have to just grind out some games and wins where he may not just be able to air it out. But I love it. I appreciate the love. Listen, he talks about Justin Herbert. I'm with you with Russell Wilson. We talked about it last year real quietly. That Denver defense was a top-10 defense in the league. They just didn't have a fucking quarterback. Now you get them Russell Wilson. You give them Judy and Sutton and K.J. Hamler. And you got Javonte and Gordon in the backfield. And that defense, if they don't take a step back, I mean, I get it. That division, I don't think you might not win that division with more than 11 wins because they're going to beat the hell out of each other this year, I think. But if you drop him on that team with those weapons and that defense with a chip on his shoulder, because everybody's talking about it was a product of Pete Carroll. It was a product of the Legion of Boom. He finally got his money. I think he's out of there. He's going to be happier now. He might be corny as hell, but that dude can ball. And you give him a good team with a chip on his shoulder, I expect big things from us this year.
Yeah. You nailed it. In the first game at Seattle, man, you talk about just the perfect situation for that Monday night game. You couldn't ask for a better situation.
Going to
right
go
the gate.
Bonkers on Seattle. Oh, my goodness. He's going to go nuts.
Yeah. Ooh, this is what you left before.
That was
going to
be fun to watch.
Yeah. I agree. I don't think Seattle's stand a chance in that game.
That's why I got it for my fantasy draft. I was so happy you was there. Yeah. I'm like, I'm going to draft him really quickly. He's going to have a great. Curtis, Gary, you have anything to add?
You know, so many things can change. So many things can happen. But early on, Josh Allen, he's got to be the right now the clear-cut favorite. But just names you mentioned, you know, Mahomes, Rodgers, Herbert, Burrows. Wilson, another name I'll throw out there, running back, and it's the only thing they got, really, but if he's healthy and he can get back into somewhat good form, Derrick Henry. He can run.
Yeah, I thought about that, too.
And he can keep him going. You know, he's mean enough and strong enough if he's healthy. He can be in that conversation.
He just worries me with that foot. When you get that big and you got to put a plate with screws in that foot and then come behind it, give him the wear and tear. No, he's a beast. Don't get me wrong. But, like, if it was an elbow, maybe even a knee, right? But that foot, as big as he is, to stop and plant and stiff-arm people like that, that's the only thing that worries me about him. He's got all the makeup, you're right, because he is the engine for the Titans. I just wonder if he can deal with it or if they won't give him enough carries and try to spell him so that takes away from some of his numbers. Because they were just like Derrick Henry to the left, Derrick Henry to the right, Derrick Henry up the middle. That was the offense. I don't know if you can do that right now based off his foot. We'll see, but, I mean, that's not a bad call. That's the only reason why I didn't put it in there.
After a few passes, they're going to realize that's what they have to do.
Don't pass the ball, Ryan. That's a good call, too. I thought about that, too, Gary. I thought about it, too, because he saw how valuable he was to that team. Gary. Another dark, and I love Rob. I love the call for Jonathan Taylor too. I was thinking about that. Besides, I was like, I know it's kind of quarterback heavy, so I thought about some running backs too, and I thought about Jonathan Taylor and as well as Derrick Henry, Gary. And surprisingly, I know you're going to hate this, JQ, but watch Najee Harris too, man. It's going to be interesting to see how he develops in his second year if they're going to lean on him. Obviously the quarterback situation. Mitch Trubisky was obviously picked at quarterback. Will they lean on Najee Harris? So there's enough time to make sure that they're going to keep that going too. So I'm just curious.
He's coming back from that little sprain. So I think he'll get there probably as you get towards the middle of the season, but maybe he has a little rust to start off. You can't get games away when you got all these good quarterbacks. If you're going to be a running back, you got to hit it running out the gate and continue to have 16, 17 good games. I just worry about him in terms of, for this conversation, that little sprain injury, and does that cost him any carries or any explosion first 1, 2, 3 weeks of the season.
Good call. All right, gentlemen.
JQ got that Mitch Trubisky jersey, huh?
Shit. Let me ask this question, JQ.
Put that shit on fire.
Let's say that an Ohio State quarterback gets drafted for the Steelers. What do you do?
I'm just not even gonna contemplate that as a thing that's gonna happen. Listen, I don't think unless CJ Stroud is really bad, I don't think Pittsburgh will be bad enough to be that high. Pittsburgh is always gonna play good defense and they're gonna run the ball. I can't see them being a 3-4-5 win team. As much as that would fucking make me so delighted, I just don't think that's gonna happen. That's just not who they are. It's the same thing with the Ravens. You're not gonna see the Ravens even if Lamar or something plays hurt. They're gonna find something to do for a game or some games to get them in that 6-7-8 win and keep them out of that top three. I think they're gonna have to be in the top three. I don't think they'll be that bad. I really don't.
I would say
yeah, they're gonna do so many other things well. I mean, they're gonna be good on special teams. They're gonna be good on defense. They're gonna cover up some of their deficiencies that they may have at the quarterback position and offensively. I agree with JQ's assessment there. I think they're gonna be a competitive team, not a division winning team. I don't think the Steelers. I know some people think the Steelers still have a shot to win a division. I'm not one of those. I think it's gonna come down to the Bengals and the Ravens in the AFC North. I think that's what it's going to come down to in that division between those two teams. And probably the one that's the most healthy is probably going to be the one that wins it. But I think the Steelers will be competitive, but they're not a division winning team.
He was just doing that to mess with me. I don't know what I would do. I would hate the hell out of that.
I wasn't trying to pick on you. I'll let you get in that, Gary. I was just saying, if that happens, that's what I was saying. I'm not saying it
would
be Steve Stroud. I was just saying. Good. What happened?
I answered that question. JQ would have been. I'm just gonna wear his Ohio State jersey.
I'm not gonna wear it. Either. I don't have it at all. CJ gonna have to do something big for me to get his jersey.
That's all good.
Hey, be Notre Dame, man.
What were you gonna say, Gary? I didn't mean to cut you off, sir. What were you gonna say, Gary? I didn't mean to cut you off, man. Let's get into some NFL Week 1 predictions here. So right out the gate, another fantastic game, the Bills at the Rams. You start out on fire with this, and I'm going to go on the limit. And right now, I'm worried if the Rams are a little complacent right now. Obviously, you heard about some situation with Matthew Stafford and his elbows and tendonitis and that. And this is going to be a big game. I think it's an improving game. I like the Bills in this game. I think Josh Allen's going to come out on fire, trying to prove that he is the guy. You know, I'm thinking it's going to be like a 31-25 game, something like that. That's me. That's what I'm thinking for the first game after the game, man. I know they're defending champions, but I just like the Bills, man, in this matchup.
Go ahead, Gary, because I know who you're going for.
I do believe the Rams are going to win this game.
Absolutely. I agree. I'm going with the Rams. You know, the reason I'm going with the Rams.
Because you know what? Early in the season, when these offenses are still working through things, especially how they have the preseason and everything set up now, and all the rules that they have, practicing full-on, full-contact practices have been cut to just next to nothing. Offenses are going to struggle. The defenses are what is going to save these teams and win these early games in the NFL.
Von Miller's coming back. Von Miller's coming back. He's going to be like, yo, I got you, bro. I got you. He's going to be bad.
Josh Allen.
Go ahead, Gary.
Aaron McDonald can take him by the neck and just.
He can snap it. Okay.
I will say this is a game that I've been really torn on, but I'm going with the Rams, too. But I could easily see – I want the Bills to win. Don't get me wrong. But I'm picking the Rams. Hey, they're getting their rings. It's opening night. They're at home. Buffalo coming cross country. I'm a little concerned about the Bills in the cornerback position, Tre'Davious White. You know, how well a Kyer Elam play as a rookie at the corner position. So that's a concern for me going into this game. I'm concerned about both teams' offensive lines. Obviously, Josh Allen's a lot more mobile, could probably, play a lot better in that environment than Matthew Stafford can. But I think overall, I think the Bills are going to just come up a little short in this game. I'm going to go 31-28, the Rams pulling this out. Just concerned about the secondary, the corner, particularly the cornerback position. The safeties for the Bills are going to be intact. I'm just concerned about the corners on the outside. In this game, matching up against Cooper Kupp, Allen Robinson. It doesn't look like Van Jefferson is going to play. But I'm just a little concerned about their cornerback position going into this game.
Well, I'm going to go with two things. One, just the disrespect that the Rams have to be looking at. Yeah, everybody's talking about the Bills. They're coming into our house. We're getting the rings. And the Bills are a three-point favorite on the road against the division, the Super Bowl champs. Oh, I would put that shit up everywhere like I was a college coach. That's all we would talk about the game plan, and I would throw that shit in every meeting. They don't respect what we did last year. They don't respect us going this year. They got these young fellas coming here. They all hyped about coming to our building. They got them as a three-point favorite, and we the champs. That's what I would drive home through this whole point. And I agree with you, Gary. And the other piece of that is last year, I think the Rams were like 7-1 in one-score games. I think the Bills were 0-6. So you're talking about a team that if the Bills don't blow you out, they struggle to win close games. And the Rams are really good at keeping the game close and winning it based off what they did last year. So if that carries over, given both of those things, I'm going to take the Rams in like a 4-point game.
Good stuff.
Yep. Now, I do think the Bills, before the season is over, will be a better team than the Rams. I do think they'll be a better team than the Rams when it's all said and done. But I just think this environment, opening night, like I said, Tre'Davious White may be out 4 to 6 weeks, but I do think in the long run, this Bills team will be a better team than the Rams. Just don't think they'll win this one.
Let's stop.
Well, they're in a week
Let's,
or two.
Yeah. Here we go. This is kind of tailor-made for JQ. I wonder who he's going to go for. We got the Steelers at the Bengals right out the gate. We got a couple rivalry games, too, and this is right out the gate for you guys, too, man. So let's say you on this, JQ. You get the first crack at it.
Well, it's always going to be a fight. I was surprised that the line was 6.5. I thought it would be closer probably to maybe 3 or 4. Because you know that the Pittsburgh is going to play good defense. And those teams know each other so well. They're going to, it's always, for the most part, it's a decent game. Cincinnati comes to bring their end of it. You know, it's going to be some tippiness. It is what it is for it. What it is that you're going to have to think that Burrow can make one or two more plays than Trubisky can. But if you look at the Steelers, as much as I hate them, they got a good running back like you talked about in Harris. You know, you go and get George Pickens to pair him with Deontay and Claypool and Friar move the tight end. So, it's not like they are devoid of weapons. You know, the Bengals better come ready to play and not be resting on their laurels. The same way we talked about maybe the Rams are feeling too good about themselves. And the other thing is, how long does it take Joe Burrow to get into rhythm, right? Because he had, you know, not only did he not play, he had surgery. And I know it's just, you know, after appendicitis or whatever, but, we, you know, in the cases he's been out there playing, but he hasn't had any for real meaningful snaps, really, since the Super Bowl. So I think it's going to be a closer game. I think the Bengals hopefully pull it out. But I think it'll be close. I think it's another one of those 3-4 point games. I was really surprised with the 6.5 point line.
Yeah, Mitch Trubisky's got to play out of his mind. You know, that's an interesting situation for that too, because obviously they're going to run Najee Harris. He's got a lot of weapons. I'm not kind of sure. I haven't watched a lot of Steelers games too, man. Because again, is Mitchell the guy? Can he get the ball to all those weapons too? Go ahead.
And that Steelers offensive line is not great. And the Bengals need to take advantage of that. They need to move that line of scrimmage and put it back in his face and make him panic. That's the best way they can beat Pittsburgh, is to beat up on that offensive line.
I like the Bengals in this matchup too. I like them a little more than JQ do. I think they win by 10 points here. I think they win 27-17. I think the Steelers are going to struggle to score points in this football game. And I think the Bengals will take what the defense give them. They have a lot of ways they'll be able to beat the Steelers defense. They can mix it up with Mixon. They can hit Chase on the outside. But they'll be able to mix it up a lot more and matriculate their way down the field and beat the Steelers in this way, in this game. So I like them a little more than JQ does. I think they win the game by 10 points.
Well, I think JQ's pretty much spot on. He watches – this is his division, and he watches these guys, and he hates them, and he knows them real well. And, you know, the Bengals, Joe Burrow's a smart. And he's going to play a smart game. And the Bengals are going to play a smart game. And the Steelers, they can't really play a smart game because they don't really have a smart quarterback.
Uh-oh.
And, hey, that's a fact. He's going to look pretty damn solid for about 3.5 quarters. And then he's going to do what he does best. He's going to be the best player on the Bengals team. because he's going to throw a pick six or something stupid, and the Bengals are going to end up winning and probably cover the point spread because of it.
Could be.
And that's who he is. That's who he's been his whole career.
Yeah.
Nothing's going to change. Just because he's put on, you know, the black and gold doesn't mean that he's Ben Roethlisberger or Terry Bradshaw. He's not. So,
what do you say? Terry Bradshaw can't spell cat if he was spotted the A and the T or something like that. They used to make fun of him all the time. Man. Terry Bradshaw was not the smartest at all. That's hilarious. Bringing it back old school, Gary, with that. The next game is a pretty interesting game, too, and we got the Patriots at the Dolphins, and this is interesting, right? What's
so interesting about this game?
I think it's interesting because of, you know, your favorite team, the Patriots, Gary. I mean, let's go with that, man. Come on, man. You know how much you love Bill Belichick and stuff like that. This is your team, man. I think it's an interesting game, too. I will say this.
I think it's an intriguing game.
The Dolphins have beaten the last 3 years. Now, again, they're 3-point favorites. The Dolphins are, I think. So you look at the records, right? They were separate by, the Patriots were 10-7 and the Dolphins were 9-8. Very equal teams, if you will. We got a new coaching staff with the Dolphins. We all know about what happened. And it's a situation where you kind of have a first-time head coach in Mikey McDaniel against the veteran. You wonder if Bill Belichick is going to do some things to confuse Tua, right? This is a situation that. But, you know, we have some question marks with the Patriots. We talked about Mac Jones. We like the talent of the Dolphins. That's why I'm saying it's interesting because right now I'm leaning towards the Dolphins. But, again, I wouldn't be surprised if the Patriots did some crazy stuff, too, because they're going to try to confuse Tua, you know. But this is Mikey McDaniel's situation, too, to kind of prove that, you know, he's going against a veteran guy, man. So let's see how that plays out. Go ahead, Jake. You're shaking your head on that. Go ahead, man.
Yeah, because the damn Patriots are going to confuse Mac Jones. They ain't got no damn offensive coordinator. Is Bill Belichick really going to call the plays for Mac Jones? Or Mike Patricia? Like, who's calling the plays for them? They don't have an offensive-minded coach there. And that other fool, Joe Judge or whoever, you know, is back in there. We're talking about splitting the offensive play calling dudes with a second-year quarterback and none of them have an offensive background. That sounds fucking horrible. I don't know why they thought of that. Listen, I get what you're saying, and maybe that happens for the first quarter and a half. But on talent alone, Miami should be able to win this game. And plus, I just don't know. I'm interested to see what kind of offense New England runs without a true offensive mind in the building. So on that alone, I'm going to give, if it's this close, I'm going to give Miami just a little bit of a nudge because of that, because I just don't know what I'm going to get from the New England offense.
Yep, I agree with that. And I'm going to go with the exact same score. I got the Bengals beating the Steelers, 27-17 Dolphins. And this game is intriguing in a lot of ways, right? How good are the Dolphins going to be this year, right, with Tua and Tariq Hill and their running backs, Chase Edmonds. They went out and invested in the offensive line and invested in the defense as well. So I'm very intrigued. Humble. And Mike McDaniel, offensive-minded coach, you know, want to see how he's going to be able to, you know, get to it to get to the next level. So I'm intrigued about this game offensively he's going to match up against Belichick. But I agree with JQ. I think the Patriots are going to struggle to score points. I don't like their weapons, both in the running back position as well as the wide receiver position. They got Mac Jones. I totally agree. Mac Jones might be calling his own plays. You know, he might just be getting the guys in the huddle and say, you run right, you run left, let's go play football. You know, you run a 5-yard out. Yeah, Omaha, who knows? But, yeah, I think this definitely, I agree with Andre, this is an intriguing game. Just from the sense, for me, it's intriguing just to see if the Dolphins are going to legitimately take that next step, right? And we'll see what happens, but I like the Dolphins to win this game.
If the Dolphins can't win this game, we can just stop talking about the damn Dolphins for probably 4 or 5 weeks. I'll be done with that.
Yeah.
But it is tough. It's his first game, too. But I'm with you. They have enough talent. They have more talent than the Patriots, for sure. Yeah, absolutely. Go ahead, Gary.
Well, you're right. The talent is there for the Dolphins to win this game. Whether or not Belichick throws some sort of cheating thing in there,
gotta
or
cheat.
You know, causes the, you know, the, I don't know, something shady's gonna happen. That's what Tomlin always said with whenever they played with the Steelers, whenever they played the Patriots, something shady happened almost every time, every big game. You know, headsets weren't working right, whatever it was.
Oh, my God.
There was always something. And so
well, Miami, the home
team.
So if the communication doesn't work,
it's a home team, though.
But with this team, the Dolphins, this is their team. This is their time to put, you know, the Patriots in the rearview mirror. They don't have Tom Brady anymore. Belichick doesn't have Tom Brady anymore to save his ass. So he's just going to be back to a 500 coach like he is without Brady. Dolphins are going to win. They're probably going to win by a touchdown.
Oh, goodness gracious.
I love it.
If only not without Brady.
I love it. We got the Chiefs at the Cardinals. Another good matchup right out the gate. Two good quarterbacks, Kyler Murray and Patrick Mahomes. I know, Rob, you gave Mahomes some love as far as MVP consideration. I guess the question you guys think about, what does the Chiefs offense look like post Tyreek Hill? Obviously, Naj is a huge fan of Juju Smith-Schuster, so he may have something we don't know about, you know. So, again, are the Chiefs kind of poised? They've made some additions we talked about to the draft. What say you about this? Because, you know, the Cardinals are still without DeAndre Hopkins, as you know. So, you know, again, you kind of saw how he struggled without DeAndre Hopkins. He was kind of coming off the injury, guys. So what are the Cardinals? You will. So I'm going to kind of throw it to you, Jake, to kind of get your thoughts as far as this one.
That's what I was saying. I was like, well, they don't have Tyreek Hill. And I was like, oh, damn, they don't have Hopkins. Well, shit. So I'm going to have to, and that being the situation,
course,
and
right?
The Chiefs, they're at the Cardinals, but, you know, I feel like
yeah.
I still have to give the edge to Mahomes to be able to have been through that, you know, run that gauntlet before for these past 3 years, you know, trying to get to the Super Bowl, going to the Super Bowl, winning the Super Bowl. And I tell you what, he's probably looking around thinking the same thing, like, oh, yeah, Joe Burrow's better than me. Oh, Justin Herbert's better than me. Watch this. Watch me take these guys, and I still got Kelce. So as I talk about it, I feel like I've got to give the Chiefs a slight nod because they've got a Super Bowl MVP and they've got a regular season MVP at quarterback. And as much as we know, we talked about Kyler Murray and his completion percentage, I'm more likely to give the edge to Mahomes figuring it out without his top weapon, as opposed to Kyler Murray figuring it out to win the game without his top weapon. Because, like you said, we saw him struggle a little bit without Hopkins last year. Now, he's had a whole offseason of plan for not having him. But I got to give the Chiefs just on Mahomes' experience the nod.
Yeah. Except I love how the Cardinals added J.J. Watt and Budda Baker, man. I love that situation, too. But
yeah.
You just got enough. It's enough, right? You know, but it's the situation for sure. Go ahead.
Should be a good game.
I like the Chiefs, too, in the game on the road. I think, you know, 1-2 punch, Clyde Edwards-Helaire. His running back, Isaiah Pacheco, has really been a surprise player for the Chiefs. So they might have themselves a good 1-2 punch. Their philosophy is going to change a little bit without Tariq Hill. They may have to be a little bit more patient offensively. But I think they have the offensive line in place. They're going to have the two running backs. They're going to have to definitely count on Juju Smith. But as JQ mentioned, they still got Travis Kelce. And I expect him to be slightly improved defensively, too. You start to see them getting a little bit better and better every year. I think they're going to be slightly better defensively, too. I like the Chiefs to go on the road and win this game.
Well, Curtis was talking about this game, and he also liked the Chiefs in this game. And I picked the home team. I thought it was yeah, the Chiefs have the MVP, but as we, you know, JQ, as you talked about earlier, you know, we talked about Murray and how we were surprised at his, you know, you complete passes and you move the ball and you move the chain, and then you have a quarterback like Murray that, you know, he can also take off. And if he takes off, he can go to the house from anywhere on the field. That may be the difference in the game. Is him and his scrambling ability. And what we've seen with Mahomes is when there hasn't been those star players in there, like what you had alluded to earlier was being patient. He doesn't really like to be patient. And we saw him force passes down the field when he should have just been patient and just taken that five-yard little out pass and stuff like that. That's,
right.
I think that's the Achilles heel of Mahomes is his lack of ability to be patient. You know, when we were talking about a few years ago, before these young bucks came in here at quarterback, we were talking about Mahomes because it looked like he was playing a video game out there. But as time goes on, you start to see his weakness, and his weakness is in being patient. If they can cure him of that or convince him that this is how we have to play, and I'm not sure that they've done that, but if they can do that, then they'll win the game. But I have the Cards winning this particular game, just only because it's a home game, and for me it was kind of a toss-up.
It's very much a toss-up to me.
It's tough. All right, we're going to do this last position. Hopefully we get in pretty quickly because we're going to spend a little time with OT because I want to get to a couple other topics because we had a really cool pack list. When we're going to get through some more, we're going to talk about the Buccaneers and Cowboys. But Raiders at the Chargers, another interesting matchup. Now, before, you know, the Raiders, we've talked about, you know, they just always been, you know, just the whipping boy, easy whip on. But maybe not so much. Obviously getting Josh McDaniels as a coach, adding Devontae Adams. Derek Carr actually looks pretty decent. This is not a pushover team, but I definitely think that I'm going all in the Chargers in this instance because, again, just for everything we talked about as far as just that team is loaded, explosive. We talked about Justin Herbert's ascension. This is the situation for him. But I do think it's not going to be an easy game. I don't think the Raiders are going to be a pushover like they were before, but I definitely think it's going to be like more or less like – I think it's going to be like a – I would like to score 31-28 type of game too, so – that's our prediction for that. What say you, Rob? Jake, you go ahead.
Oh no, I think the Chargers might blow the doors off the Raiders. I really do. I think they might beat them by 14-17 points. I think it's gonna take a little time. I know him and Devontae played together at Fresno State, but a piece of me looks like Devontae just seems not complacent, but just fulfilled. I'm out of Green Bay. I just go play with my homeboy. I get to live in Vegas. Like I wonder about some of that for him if he's still that same hunger. Like he's like, I finally got to where I wanted to be. And just you take a second to get back ramped up a car. I'm with Rob. If the Broncos hadn't got Russell Wilson, I would be feeling the same way about the Chargers that he feels about them. I think they're here to come out here and show that, hey, yeah, it's a tough division, but we're near the top of it, and they are not. I think they beat them by about 17 points, honestly.
Yep.
I like the Chargers in this game, too. I don't know if I see a blowout or a 17-point win. I guess 10 is that number for me tonight. I'm going with a 10-point victory by the Chargers at home. But I'm going to go Chargers 33, Raiders 23. I like them at home. Justin Herbert, we talked about it. Austin Eckler, offensive line, the two receivers that they have, the defense. I just like the Chargers in this matchup. Well, there goes our music to you, ladies and gentlemen. That's the end of our live portion of the show. We thank you all for tuning in to another great edition of Talking Sports with the 12th Man. We're going to be back at you on next Tuesday night. That's 11 p.m. On the East Coast. So Giants fans, Jets fans, we want to hear from y'all on next week. Is this the year one of y'all teams makes the playoffs? I don't think so, but we want to hear from y'all. Central time zone. Chicago. Is this the year the Bears make it back to playoffs? I don't think so. I want to hear from y'all Central Time Zone. So
hey,
Rob. For you all on the Central Time Zone. And in the Mountain Time Zone, Denver, Russell Wilson, y'all got a chance. So we want to hear from y'all on next week. All right, West Coast, 8 p.m., Los Angeles. So we want to hear from y'all on next week as well. Make sure you all tune in to another great edition with Talking Sports for the 12th Man. Make sure you all continue to follow us on Twitter and Facebook, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you all. Good night.
Just sending out shots, boy. Albuquerque and Fresno, stand up. We need y'all to chime in as well. Man, Rob is out here throwing darts on the low. I ain't going to tell nobody, but fool. Boom. He just seen the shots all the way from the east to the west coast, boy. Good goodness. Appreciate you guys listening to the show. We'll talk to y'all next week.
Coach Dodges. I was waiting for that.
Sorry, Dodges.
Gary
hates the Giants, so he liked that.
Of course.
I said Gary hates the Giants, so he liked that.
Yeah, I don't think the Giants would make the playoffs if they could take their wins and the Jets' wins.
Oh, damn.
That's probably true.
So you mean coming to New York, they can't combine their roster and they still want to make the playoffs?
Probably not.
Their wins, I'm talking about, I think. Curtis,
wow.
Gary, your pick, that's hilarious. Raiders at Chargers, what's your pick for this one?
Raiders at Chargers, we both have the Chargers winning that game. But with division games like that, you know, it's gonna be a close game, and I think that's a pick 'em game as well for me. To go either way, I don't think it's gonna be. Like I said earlier, the offenses have to catch up. It takes 2 or 3 weeks for those offenses to really get humming, you know, get in a groove. First game of the season, not too many times you see these big blowout games.
Well, the reason why I say that is that I feel like the Chargers will match up well. You know, you put Jackson on Devontae and say he's yours. You say Darren Waller, he's yours. We'll figure out with Hunter Renfro, and maybe we assign, you know, an over-under piece of them. So I feel like those weapons they have, and then you've got both of them, Max, to rush the passer and be able to control that line of scrimmage. They've got to be better against the run. They were not great against the run last year, but the Raiders' offensive line, they got a center and two guards who aren't really all that great. You're going to put them against that Chargers defensive line and the ability to match up on the perimeter, like I just pointed out, I feel like that could get to be a really long day for the Raiders if that works out the way I think it could.
Well, and so many times in our division that we follow, right? Just like, you know, we talk about these teams and you really know your division. You really know your opponent. These coaches know that. And they seem to just – how many times have you – play over. You guys can all think about this. How many times has that last place team in the division come in and played like they were playing the freaking Super Bowl against your team and come out with a damn win? You know, these are what division, because they know you so well. They know the moves of these guys. You know, they know they can. That's what's tough about picking these division games like that. I still have the Chargers, but. And I may be wrong. I've been wrong. I think I was wrong once at one time. I can't remember when. It was a long time ago.
But I'll say, I'll give you this, Gary. I will agree with you as far as the division games and how tough it is. The only situation is that, obviously, you know, Josh McDaniels is a new coach. Now you will give him the credit that he has been in the AFC with the Patriots, so that is an advantage too. But like you said, you know, he's got a new squad to kind of deal with too. He's not doing – bringing the Patriots, so I'll give you that. But like I said, just we like about, like JQ, you said it eloquently as far as the matchups and the talent of the Chargers right now, too. Not that the Raiders don't have some talent, too, but it's just like there's a lot of question marks. Like the offensive line is still a problem with the Raiders.
Yeah.
Right? So it's a challenge, right? So that's why you kind of have to lead Chargers. Now, again, unless the Chargers implode, you kind of like the talent they have, man. And Justin Herbert's going to prove a point, too, man. So you just got a lot of situations with that, too. So Devontae Adams is a problem, but I think that
that's why you went and got Jackson. That's what I'm saying. They match up
that's
so
exactly
well
right.
against them on paper for what they went and got that you feel like they can cover. And you look on the flip side, you don't feel like the Raiders match up as well with all the weapons that the Chargers have.
There it is. They're going to rush them. You know, that offensive line is going to be a problem. The next game, another robbery game at the gate. We got the Packers at the Vikings. And I'm going to say two words, Kirk Cousins. I hate that. I'm not a fan of Kirk Cousins at all. That's the reason why I would pick the Packers because, you know, F – Kirk Cousins as one of the fan video that you sent me, JQ, talked about earlier, man. So,
yeah.
And,
I'm going to steal the line of Lee Corso.
Go ahead.
Not so fast, my friend. I'm picking the Vikings at home to beat the Packers. I think the Vikings are I think the Packers still win this division, but I think the Vikings have a legitimate chance to be a wild card team. I really do. They got a lot of weapons on offense. Kirk Cousins just has to be adequate. Aaron Rodgers is still counting on some rookies at the wide receiver position. I think these rookies have a chance to be good at some point, but Alan Lazard is going to be his number one receiver. I think it may take him a few games to get in sync, I like the Vikings in this game at home. They've improved in a lot of areas of the football team. Got an offensive-minded head coach now. Justin Jefferson, the weapons that they have. I think they win this game at home. I think it's going to be a great game. I'm going to go 30-24, Vikings pulling it out at home, you know, in Minnesota this weekend.
I'm going with the Pack. Go, Pack, go. Listen, I would normally say that, but yeah, you got to remember the Packers have a really good defense. But what they also have is Jaire Alexander. And I'm not saying he can shut Justin Jefferson down, but he can make life really difficult for Justin Jefferson where he just won't run amok. So the question is, on the other side, what can you do to bring Thielen down a little bit? Because I'm not a real big Irv Smith fan yet. I think he's got some, you know, some things to prove in the NFL, right? So you're really just talking about, for the most part, I gotta worry about Dalvin Cook, but that front seven for Green Bay played really well last year, and you gotta worry about what you're doing on the other side with Thielen. If you can roll, you know, you can't leave Alexander totally on the island, but he was a top three. I think he was like a top three rated quarterback last year when healthy, right? So you got him healthy going against Justin Jefferson. Can you put a safety and shade him over to Thielen and kind of slow that offensive down, let that front seven work on Dalvin Cook? And again, you said it. It's hard for me to take Kirk Cousins against another big quarterback in any football game. Like, if they win, they've got weapons. I agree with you. They've got the Rams OC, I think. So they're going to put in that spread. And I heard all the stuff they talked about doing with Justin Jefferson. But until I see Kirk Cousins do it and do it on a regular basis, can't do it. Got to go with Aaron Rodgers.
Minnesota is a show-me state too, Rob. So you got to show me. I'm just saying.
With this particular game, I agree with Rob and I disagree with Rob at the same time. I agree that in this particular game, they're going to win. I believe the Vikings are going to win at home. Division game, early in the season, and Kirk Cousins is going to do just enough to give the Vikings a little bit of hope. and then that's you'll see maybe one or two Viking shirts out there too for the first couple three games of the season, and then you won't see them again because Kirk Cousins will be Kirk Cousins again. But I think this is his only chance.
First cousin.
Right.
Third cousin.
And so I agree that they're going to win this game, Rob, but I do not think that they're going to be a playoff team.
I love that we're split on this one. I love how we're kind of split. So we'll see how that plays out. The last game, we're going to throw it up to Curtis and Gary. We got the Buccaneers at the Cowboys. And this is another interesting matchup. And I'm going to give you a bone, Gary and Curtis. I'm picking the Cowboys only because I think that the Buccaneers' offensive line has some serious challenges, and I think the Cowboys' defense is a lot better than the Buccaneers' offensive line. That's what I'm thinking. I know we talked about, you know, Randy Gregory earlier, but I just think that Micah Parsons is going to go nuts. I hope that old man Tom Brady doesn't know where the hell he's going. He's going to get in a wheelchair. I think Dak, like you said, impressive his accuracy. There's some questions. You know, obviously the Patriots keep releasing some the cornerback. I forgot the guy released last year, so. There's a lot of question marks, you know, with the Buccaneers, and I don't know if Tom Brady can overcome these. So that's kind of my pick. I'm not sure who your wide receivers are, you know, Curtis and Gary. But other than that, I'm being facetious, but I like the Cowboys this time.
We'll know Sunday. I'll tell you what. I wanna go back to the Packers game and Vikes game real quick. Before I discuss the Cowboys game, please. Curtis picked the Packers. I forgot to tell you guys this. I picked the Vikes. He picked the Packers. I'm sure he thinks Aaron Rodgers is a better quarterback than Kirk Cousins, and I disagree with him week one.
He is.
Moving on to the Cowboys game. Of course I have the Cowboys winning. We both have the Cowboys winning that game. Somehow, some way, if we can put old man on his ass enough times, and that Dak Prescott can scramble around and somehow find us one receiver open and one tight end open, and we can break through that line with 80 yards rushing.
Better throw the ball to Tony Pollard, too. They're going to use Pollard like a wideout.
Well, they will. He's got good hands. And I think they'll run him in the slot.
Right, he's still out there, too. Terrell Owens is out there, too. He's still ready at any time to come back.
Wow. Wow.
But they will get the Bucs.
Michael Irvin, too.
He's
ready.
Yeah, yeah, see that? It's just been fast, though. Listen, I'm with you in the fact that I think Dallas fans, only because I feel like Tampa's offensive line issues are worse than Dallas's are right now. And I'm with you. I think Michael Parsons, Axel Foo, they just need Diggs not to gamble so much on Mike Evans. And the other piece about it is, you know, never know what you're going to get from Julio Jones. He's lost a step and a half. And I think it's going to take a couple of games for Godwin to get back up to speed. So you're playing him at a great time. They haven't figured out the offensive line yet. Godwin's still trying to get ramped up. Does Julio really know to play the whole playbook? Does he just know, hey, go deep? You know what I mean? Like, if you see him out there, you just know he's going deep in game playing for him. Like, I don't know how much he knows, how much I feel comfortable putting him in that position. So I'm with you guys. I think Dallas wins. I think it's a good game. I think it's a close game. But I think Dallas finds a way.
Yeah, I'm going to make this unanimous. I agree with all of you all. Picking the Cowboys. I don't know if I'm picking them with my heart this weekend to beat Tampa Bay. Maybe Andre is, too, so we can see Tampa in our division lose. But I'm
exactly
agreeing with all of you all. I'm picking Dallas to win this game.
I
think
like
Dallas is going to be motivated in this game. They
like
feel
that.
Like they had a chance to beat Tampa in that game last week.
First psychology.
And so, I mean, not last week, but in that game last year. So I think they're going to come out and be motivated. And, you know, you look at this game, and, you know, you all already touched on it, right? Both of these teams look like they have some weaknesses on the offensive line. But if you're going to be weak on the offensive line, you're going to want a mobile quarterback, right? And the Cowboys have that in Dak Prescott. So he'll be able to provide an extra second or two of time, but Tom Brady would not be able to do that at his age, right? So that I'll give the slight advantage to the Cowboys. Plus, I think, like I said earlier, they're going to be motivated, you know, for how they lost that game last year. They're going to be really motivated in this game. But they got to take advantage of that, the Buccaneers' offensive line. I mean, they have to take advantage of that if they're going to have a shot at winning this football game. They have to. And we got to remember, Tampa Bay's got a pretty good defense, too. So there are no slouch on the defensive side of the ball. But I like Dallas by a field goal, 27-24.
The Cowboys signed 80-year-old Jason Peters. Now, what the hell is going on, man? Come on, man.
If the Cowboys win this game, I'm buying you all Cooper Rush Cowboy jerseys.
I'm going to hold you to that, too, Gary.
Oh, man.
Oh, good stuff.
This
I am
not
going to
hold you
more
that.
Just what I need, more toilet paper in the house.
What's that? Hey, he said more
toilet just what I need, more toilet paper in the house.
Yeah. I'm sure you do have to.
I'm not
going to
I'm not going to keep this too much longer. I know we can pick a topic. I did want to, Rob, I hate to pick on you, man, but I do want to talk about the disaster of the Delta, man. I mean, I'm sorry to pick on you, man, but, man, LSU, that was pretty tough, man. Disaster of the Delta, man. That's what I heard on the radio, man. They were talking about the Florida State kind of whipping. It wasn't a whipping, but just, you know, what happened in that instance, too, man. So, are you happy what happened? You know, obviously you guys lose Mason Smith for the season. It's an interesting game. And I know. No. And this is why I'm not talking junk, because Florida State's acting like they didn't win the damn Super Bowl or championship season because they're just like, we beat LSU. And like I said, Brian Kelly, you've had some questionable decisions too, but the floor is yours in that, man.
Well, I mean, definitely a frustrating loss, right? And not a good start. Obviously, special teams is a huge blow. Getting two field goals blocking that game, two bucks blocked in that game as well. So special teams was a huge blow. And then on top of that, you lose Mason Smith, the All-American defensive tackle, who a lot of NFL scouts was comparing him to Aaron Donald. So that was a huge blow losing him for the season, too. And off a celebration play, he's jumping up in the air celebrating in a freak injury. So double whammy. Of course, being here in Tampa, I heard about it all day today.
Yes, you did.
Yeah, guys wearing Florida State hats to work and everything else. So I heard about it all day today. But, hey, it was all in fun. It was a very entertaining game. It just came out the wrong end for LSU. So Brian Kelly still has some work to do. You know, this year, will we like to see LSU be an improved football team? Absolutely. But it's still not a, you know, going into it, we didn't expect this team to be a championship team. By no stretch of the imagination. He's got to fix a lot of things that Ed Ogeron left behind. He's got a top five class coming in next year in 2023. Might even be the number one class in the country. So it's going to take him a little while. But I think what we all would like to see is some improvement out of this football team than what we've seen the last 2 years at Ed Ogeron. But we got a coach who can speak English now. So, we got to look at the positive.
Yeah, y'all be hiring those Cajun coaches that know how to speak, man, for sure, man. You know, Head over on.
That's Miles, not even Cajun. He know how to speak English.
That's true, too. Yeah.
That Michigan education.
That dude. Yeah, man.
That Michigan education. Yeah, he was waiting on that one, huh?
He was. Man, that was a perfect hit moment for him. Is there a topic you guys want to hit? Because I really didn't want to take the rest of the OTI. I know we had to get through those predictions. I definitely wanted to hear the Cowboys thing. Get Curtis and Gary some time for that, too. Obviously, shout out to Aaron Judge. 8 home runs are away from, you know, breaking that AL record, which is fantastic. He's just killing it this year. Really good stuff for him. I don't know if you're
the only one
that
hit for the game.
Rob.
Yeah. That's
yeah. Head, Matt.
That's exactly what I was
going to
say.
He's the only one hitting.
True.
Yeah.
I mean, Aaron Boone, one of the smartest things he could ever did. You know, obviously, normally, like, Aaron Judge would be batting, like, 2, 3, or 4 in a lineup. But he's like, shucks, I might as well put him number one. He's the only one hitting. Give him more chances and more opportunities to bat.
Yeah. The only one I was going to touch on real quick, Andre, is the, I'm not a fan of the expansion of the college football playoffs. And this is why. When you see what happened, when you talk about the top five, it's the SEC, the Big Ten, and one other person. Right, you got Georgia, Alabama. I think you got Ohio State and Michigan, because I hate those bastards. And then you got probably, I really like what I see from USC. I think he's going to have a chance because I don't think he's going to have a whole bunch of, you know, competition out there. Sorry, Oregon, that road. I think whenever you start Bo Nix, you're in trouble. Like, we've seen that movie down here in the Southeast a lot. And when I saw Bo Nix start for Oregon, I knew y'all was in trouble. So I think the 15th
game
is going to end up being
started.
USC.
Wow.
Oh, yeah. As soon as Bo Nix put on his helmet. So, to me, you got Georgia, Alabama, Ohio State, Michigan. I think that 15 is probably going to be USC, but I can see Oklahoma sneaking into it.
I think that's
the problem you're going
to 12.
Yeah.
I mean,
but that's what I'm saying. I don't want to go to 12 because, it's only always going to be 4, maybe 5 teams that really deserve to be in it. You start adding another 7, you're just doing it for the money.
Yeah,
I tell you why. I think that's some very good points. Here's one of the reasons why I do like it, because a lot of these bowl games right now are just completely meaningless. Now we're just going to a 12-team playoff. Now we got some meaningful football games. You got a lot of these guys who are not playing in bowl games, like last year for Ohio State. I mean, Chris Olave, Garrett Wilson, both of them sat out, right? You know, Ohio State would have been in the playoffs last year. Those guys would have been playing and have made the bowl game even more meaningful. So that's the reason why I do like it. You're going to see more meaningful bowl games. You're going to see the players play instead of sitting out these games. They're playing for a playoff, an opportunity to win a national championship. They're going to play. And so you're going to see more of these guys play in these games. So that's one of the reasons why I do like it. I think some of those points JQ makes are very valid, but that's one of the things I do like about it. You're just going to more meaningful bowl games. You're not going to be seeing Portland State play Appalachian State, and they not playing their starters. And
plays a real school.
Come on,
you're
going to see meaningful football games now. You're going to see these guys play. So, yeah, it could be a team or three that probably doesn't deserve to get in there, but I think you're going to see from an NFL prospect point. You're going to see a lot of these guys playing these games, more meaningful football. You're going to be more sellout crowds for these bowl games now because these teams are playing for the playoffs. And I know it's just, I mean, we've just played 2 weeks of college football right now. And JQ said it, Alabama, Georgia, they looked the part. Ohio State, Michigan, you can say Clemson, Oklahoma, and USC. I mean, there's seven teams right there. You just need five more. I mean, but it's still a lot of football to be
Clemson
played.
Game? Stop it. Clemson is not that team. Let's just, I give you six. Clemson is no. No.
Yeah, but who's going, who else is going to beat them in ACC? And that Clemson defense,
that don't mean they should go.
Get better.
That don't mean they should go. Defense. Just because the ACC sucks.
And just think,
I
watched
that game.
That's tough too, man.
Watch
DJ
Florida. Anthony Richardson,
terrible.
Man. Don't you want to see him in a bowl game? I mean, he's one of the top 10, top 15 picks at the quarterback position. Man, you saw that move he put on? Man, that was unbelievable.
Yeah.
Man.
But I tell you what's going to kill it.
That was the
play
of the
weekend in college football. They said quarterbacks hurt playing in the game they shouldn't have been playing in because it expanded to 12. Oh, man, the uproar is going to be crazy.
Hey, you know, you got to think the top four are still going to get a bye week. So you're going to have the 5 through 12 is going to play in week one. So they really only playing one extra game in the top four. That's it. I mean, top four is going to get a bye week.
Yeah, that's true. Sorry, Dre. My bad.
Shout out
we had
to
touch on that one, though.
Yeah, no, you know, you don't have to apologize about that. I'm going to do a quick shout-out to, man, Rafael Nadal going down. What? What?
Yeah.
Yep.
Hey, it's always turn. You never know when turnover time happens. It just happens.
Shout out to Fred.
Yep. Yep.
What a great situation, man. I was excited about that, man. That was huge play out of his mind.
Father
good stuff,
time,
too. I'll just say really quickly, good stuff, good stuff. I was going to finish really quickly about
you know,
Andre,
another thing
you got to
think about, too. Oh, I'm sorry, Andre.
No, no, finish your thoughts. Go ahead. Go ahead. Go ahead, Ron.
I think another thing we got to think about, too, with this college football playoff expansion, I mean, let's face it, but they're saying they right now it's on slate for 2026. They may start it early in 2024. I mean, how many college football conferences are we going to have by then? Two, three, and, you know, those schools are going to be beating up on each other in the regular season. It's going to be a rarity for a team to come out of these conferences undefeated. When you talk about a Big Ten that's going to have Ohio State, Michigan, USC, I mean, do you really think somebody's going to be coming out of that conference every year undefeated? Rarely, in my opinion. These teams are going to be beating up on each other. It's going to be a norm for teams to win these conferences for one or two losses now. I think, you know, in the SEC too, you add Texas and Oklahoma, right? You know, and how often are these teams going to come out of these conferences undefeated? I mean, the SEC's been having it. When the last time the SEC's had a team? Well, Alabama and LSU a few years ago came out of SEC undefeated. But last year, both Georgia and Alabama came out of their one loss because Alabama lost to Texas A&M in the regular season. Georgia lost to Alabama in the SEC championship game. It's going to be hard for these teams to come out of these conferences. With only two to three conferences. I mean, right now we know the Big Ten and the SEC is going to be there. You know, Big 12, ACC, and the Pac-12, we don't know what's going to happen to those three conferences.
Well, you know the Pac-12 is done. They're getting ready to be done. I'm sorry, they're getting ready to be done. Their media rights deals over at the same time, they're going to jump shit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
After Utah lost to Florida and Oregon lost to Georgia, yeah, they look done.
We're going to let Curtis Garrett get inside it. But I was going to say, JQ, and I really apologize for talking about this because it was just – I can't believe you actually watched that Clemson-Georgia Tech game because, you know, again, I was hoping to see where Georgia Tech measures. That was just disgusting, man. And Jeff Collins, we have so much of a talent gap. It's just unbelievable. Clemson did not play well. I thought our defense played decent, but, you know, again, we just don't have enough talent to even stack up against, Clemson situation too, but it was bad, man. I don't know, it was just disappointing for the least, man. So I don't know. Good, Curtis. Good. Do you have anything you wanted to add to or topic you want to kind of hit before we wrap up the show?
Well, the one thing I wanted to talk about is the Pac-12, and I wanted to talk about, you know, Oregon just, you know, shit in the bed. They absolutely, I mean, I knew when it was 14-0 that they didn't stand a chance. You know, it was just, they were bigger, stronger, faster, better fundamentally.
Yeah.
There was just absolutely no comparisons in these two teams. And
go next,
Utah, you know, they didn't do what they needed to do. And they're the only ones there that are probably going to have a chance at beating USC. And I think they have the ability to beat USC. But I don't think any of the teams, including USC, even, you know, they did what they needed to do, you know. But they, you know, they had three pick sixes and, you know, but their defense overall didn't look good either, USC's defense. And so, and playing an inferior team like that. But I think if you put USC against Georgia, they'd score 10 points. It wouldn't just be 3 points, but it would still be a major blowout. I think that the difference between the Pac-12, any of the Pac-12 schools right now, this year, and,
sure,
you know, the Southeastern Conference or any of those conferences in the East, you know, any of those four schools that we know that are the best schools every year, you know, they can't, they, none of them could compete with them. And it'd be,
I think, long-term.
And it would be an embarrassment to me if a Pac-12 team did get to the playoffs or something. They just get slaughtered anyway. I'd rather see them just play a Rose Bowl game or something, a different bowl game, whatever it would be in. Stay out of that championship game or that playoffs.
But I think long term, USC with the right football coach, and we're gonna have to see if Lincoln Riley's that guy. Long term, with the right football coach and the right recruiting coordinator, if they get the top talent in Southern California like Pete Carroll did when he was there, they're gonna be able to compete with anybody in the country. I mean, let's just face it, that they have a strong talent base there in Southern California. And if they go handpick some key players around the country to come there like Pete Carroll did and still get the best players in Southern California, look out. They'll have every position covered.
So
they'll
have
defense. They'll have offensive line. They always have quarterbacks in Southern California. And so they won't have a problem getting that. So going to take the right coach.
So what you're saying is Lincoln Riley will be the next coach of the Seattle Seahawks when he has to run from the – college football, right? Is that what you're saying?
Possibly. The NFL's already been talking to him.
That's
yeah.
true. They have
But yeah, that's what I said. The right football coach in USC is the sleeping giant. I mean, let's just face it. They got the recruiting base.
We agree with that.
Yeah, they got the recruiting base. They got the talent. I mean, you're talking a 2 to 3 mile radius of talent. You don't even have to travel far. And it's just a boatload of talent in that area. And just they're just the right coach with the right recruiting coordinator. I mean, they're right there in the mix to compete with anybody in the country, including the Alabamas
Fair
and Georgias of the world.
That's true. USC is a sleeping giant, man. I agree with you, Rob, 100% about this thing. So they finally got the right coach to kind of right the ship too, man. So all good. Let's wrap this up, gentlemen. Again, we appreciate you guys. I'm just going to say, earlier I would have said that the Mets were not worried about the Braves, but I kind of think they are. They're kind of keeping an eye on what's happening because the Braves have just been on fire. They kind of lit up your boy that was supposed to be a Cy Young winner, Sandy Alcantara, whatever his name was, that played. So we lit him up, man. So I'm happy to see us playing really good baseball right now, too. Yeah. But so like I said, right now I was thinking they weren't worried for this. They're kind of keeping an eye on us, too. We got that big series at the end of September. We'll keep an eye on some of that. Copy of that too. So that's my thought.
I think the Braves got a chance to win it all again. They're high at the right time.
Mm-hmm. I fucking hope not.
Do you remember a couple shows ago when I had the Braves in my top five? Remember that?
Yeah. We've all had them in the top five for the last several weeks.
Well, you didn't. Everybody else did except Rob.
No, I had it too. You don't even try that.
Good job, Gary.
You know, we can go back and replay that. I actually had them. I had the Braves hiding our Yankees. You didn't.
Oh, yes, I did. I told you the last time I talked about them, I didn't even have the Yankees in the top five, and I said that I felt like the Yankees would lose to any of those top five teams.
Yeah.
And the
Yankees are not in the top five.
We're
not
that?
Even the best team in our division anymore. The Rays are the best team. The Rays this year were struggling hitting the ball, and now they're putting runs on the board, and they're getting good pitching and defense. Yeah, it's
Hey, and we're getting Mike Soroka back. I'm praying that he actually plays well. I hope you saw him pitch too, JQ. If he even wants to play too, man. That dude's been.
I was there, and he was filthy.
Man, so that dude is right there. I'm ready, gentlemen. Thank you for that, Racunio. Obviously was playing too. Hopefully he was playing well too as well. So good stuff, gentlemen. We went way beyond what I wanted to, but I had to get this last topic in. Appreciate you guys, and it's been a longer OT situation, the OT show, but we had to get a lot of stuff in. We're going to be Tuesday morning or Tuesday night quarterbacks next week whenever we kind of recap what's happening for the first week of Monday Night Football. So it starts Thursday. Glad to get that in. You guys have a fantastic week. I'm sure we'll be texting throughout. Please be safe as always. Curtis, we're fighting for you. Keep fighting as always. Thank you, Gary, for doing that. And, again, appreciate you guys, too. Happy birthday to baby girl for your side, too, JQ, as always, man. So you missed me last week. I survived, man. My bank account is getting built back up, man. So it's been exciting for me, too, man. So the month of August is officially behind me. So it's all good.
Woo! Yeah, I'm ready for something to be over. Yeah.
Good stuff. Mm-hmm. Hey, guys, have a great rest of your day, man. We'll talk to you soon, okay?
Good night,
y'all. Good night, y'all.
Good night.